May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening by singing hymn 798. Faith in Jesus can repel the darts of sin and death. Faith gives victory over hell, but who can give us faith? Hope in Christ the soul revives, supports the spirits when they droop. Hope celestial comfort gives, but who can give us hope? Hymn 798.
Let us read together for our instruction from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 31. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 31. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tablets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. There shall yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion, unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a water garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, Refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own borders. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim, my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof. Then I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked, and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge, but every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath. I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord, from the tower of Hananeel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring 9 shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Garib, and shall compass about to Goath. In the whole valley of the dead bodies, and of the ashes, and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more for ever. The Lord bless his own word and help us to pray. Ever merciful, ever gracious Lord, we come to thee and plead thy covenant mercies, for we know that they are sure. Nothing can alter or change what thou hast ordained in eternity, particularly as it concerns thine own dear Son, whom thou didst send into the world to save sinners, and that of the chief of sinners, the worst of sinners. And Lord, when we are in our right minds, realizing that a single sin against thee is of infinite wretchedness, and therefore deserves the infinite punishment. And Lord, if we therefore were sent to hell, thy righteous Lord approves it well. But because, chosen in Christ, ere time began, so we are brought in the process of time. And oh, what a blessing if we find it is so during the days of our life, that we may be brought to choose thee in return. Lord, we find there is much against it. Our old nature rises up against it. The world within rises up against it. Satan would try to prevent us from even contemplating it, let alone knowing it and having it. But, O Lord, it is our great mercy that thy work begun is carried on. Oh, that we might know that sovereign work which we may realize is the quickening of thy spirit, and making us to know what we once did not know. Did we know the wretchedness of our sin, that our and its separated nature? There are many that would think that they are on the way to heaven. But, O Lord, it is our mercy if thou dost teach us that way to heaven. And we must be separated from our own self, made alive unto him who is the life. And it is through that resurrection that we live. Oh, that we may consider that he that rose first descended into the lowest parts of the earth, and there from the grave he rose. And what brought him there but that he gave his life, shed his precious atoning blood, that we might know the atoning power of that blood which makes us near to thee. We have access, therefore, at the throne of grace, the footstool of mercy. We venture there to confess all our sins. And we know, O Lord, according to thy word, that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins. O, do grant us true confession. Leave us not to mere lip service. Exercise our hearts, our souls, unto those things, a true repentance, a godly sorrow, and then, Lord, to know those tokens for good, those blessings poured out, the wonders of thy grace may be viewed, the glories of redemption made known. Oh, we pray then that thou wilt thus give us the hope, indeed the strong hope that may be had to one whose faith is cast upon Christ. And would it be faith if it wasn't? Oh, for that living true faith, Lord, give us more faith, more solid faith, more confidence in thee. Break off these legal chains, O Lord, and bid our souls go free. We are now gathered together to worship thee. We would bow at thy footstool, desire, Lord, to be nothing, that thou mayest be the all and in all. We do pray that thou wilt grant that the word of the ministry may be with power, in much assurance and in the Holy Ghost to each hearing soul. Oh, that we may be granted that ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, though what the Spirit may speak to us personally. We do, Lord, pray that we may have the witness of the Spirit with our spirit to testify that we are as one put among the children. Therefore, O Lord, we would venture to call thee Father, my God, my Father, blissful name. Oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. But doubtless thou art our Father, though Abraham be ignorant of us. And yet Abraham was the father of faith. Will he not therefore perceive if there is that little faith? O Lord, we thank thee, if we have but faith as a grain of mustard seed, because of that can become great. And Lord, we know that faith lays hold upon those things which it is impossible for our old nature to even put its hand to, let alone to grasp. But by faith, Lord, we may overcome the darkness, light breaking forth, overcome the weakness because strength is given, overcome the waywardness because they just bring back. O Lord, then may we be overcomers, indeed more than overcomers, through him who has loved us. We often have to complain our lack of love, but Lord, thy love is a never failing, never waning, ever the same. So, O Lord, there who did say to Israel of old, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It's the same love that we may know in this our day, in this a poor heart that may often be overcome by the effects of the world and their sinful self. But thou art greater than our hearts, and love can draw, and love can embrace, and love can grant us those kisses of thy mouth, and they are most sweet. We do pray that thou wilt grant, Lord, thy mercies upon those not able to gather. And we do desire that in this present situation, that those are detained may find that they are not denied the word to enter into their heart. Thy word is not bound, neither by walls nor by situation, but it can come expressly at such a time when we may least expect it. And therefore, Lord, wherever they that are absent may be, we pray that there will go to them. We do, Lord, pray that there will grant thy blessing upon this people. Thou knowest them in all their needs. We do commend unto thee the officers, that they may be given much wisdom in doing those things which are right, seeking to walk in thy fear and in the unity of the Spirit. We do pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies upon any that are sick and laid aside. Do grant thy healing hand. We would remember the bereaved, that they may be comforted at this time, and help through the present days and weeks and maybe months, even years. Lord, we also would remember those of thy servants who are labouring this night, to grant them that door of utterance and help in ministering. We would pray, Lord, that thy servants may be encouraged and that they may feel that their labour is not in vain in the Lord. May there be the signs following the preaching of the word. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt yet grant a gracious ingathering. How we plead to see Zion's offspring brought, the dead elect made to live. Oh, we pray then that thou wilt yet arise up of the stones, sons unto Abraham, those who are brought to know that they are saved by no other than by a precious Redeemer who has redeemed them from their lost condition. We do pray that thou wilt grant a gift of prayer, that we may be much in prayer, or that we may heed the exhortation, pray without ceasing, and men ought always to pray and not to faint, but we do faint. O Lord, we pray for thy reviving grace, and help us to pray, knowing this, that even before we ask, thou wilt answer. But that is not a reason for not praying, but rather a reason to pray, knowing that thou wilt do as thou thou seest best. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant thy mercies upon Thy people scattered abroad the earth, those that may suffer for thy name's sake, we would commend unto thee. We would remember isolated ones, that thou would comfort them in their aloneness, and yet not alone, if thou art with them. We would remember the young and pray for them. Do, Lord, grant that as they grow up into life, they may know thy keeping power. Oh, how we pray that they may be kept from the evils of the day and not enticed by sinners into those things which they may afterward regret. Lord, we pray that thou wilt teach them and put thy fear in them at an early age. We would also, Lord, desire to bear before thee our sinful land. Have mercy upon our leaders, give them wisdom. Lord, we mourn the fact that this that has come upon us has not humbled the nation at thy feet. But there are those that go on regardless and in defiance, and those that only think that they can overcome these things, not knowing that they have no power to prevent or to resist this virus of themselves. Neither the doctors and nurses and all that may seek to do what they can prevent the day of death. Nor that these things may come solemnly upon the minds of some, realizing that eternity is before them, to be humbled, to seek that true repentance, to acknowledge that thou art God, that thou dost have a sovereign right to do as thou dost please. Oh, then, Lord, do turn us, we pray, and that we may again find that the preaching of the word becomes preeminent amongst the people to hear and to gather on thy holy day. And then may our gathering be without limitations, as we are experienced at this present time, but that we may gather again without fear of being struck down by such a tenacious enemy. Now, Lord, do hear us then in these things. Pardon us, we pray, of every sin. All that we've uttered amiss, forgive. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 256. 256. In vain men talk of living faith, when all their works exhibit death, when they indulge some sinful view in all they say and all they do. Hymn 256.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I direct your attention to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 31, and read in the 18th and the two following verses. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, "Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord." The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 31, and the 18th, 19th, and 20th verses. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he mourned over the state, the wickedness, and the sin of the people, how they had turned from God, how they were filled with that unbelief, how they believed the false prophets rather than the word that God had given to his servant. And not only would he have grieved over that, but he also had to bear much from them, their spite, their enmity, their distrust, their provocations, and many other things which brought Jeremiah to often weep. But we find here in these chapters, this and the two following particularly, there seems as though the prophet is given gracious hope, is given that encouragement to exhort the people unto those things that they may be comforted. I have written at the top of the Bible that I have here, not all of those things that are written at the top of the page are the same, depending perhaps how the chapters come and how they are placed. But it says here, the restoration of Israel. Rahel is comforted. Ephraim is brought home again. Christ is promised. Therefore, from the state that they were in, Israel itself and Ephraim were encouraged by the word of God, and it is the word of God. What a mercy it is when we believe it in the word of God. There are those sceptics that may doubt, but we have full confidence, I trust, in what God has spoken, he has spoken. What has been inspired and written by men of old is nothing less than the word of God. And that word of God will touch, it will touch the soul of those brought under it, brought those who are touched by it, and those who know its effect. The Word of God is something vital, something so necessary to us in our lives, if we are to walk the way of truth and to live our lives according to God's purpose, then we must have the Word of God. We cannot do without it. And it is sad and solemn. May we feel it when we find there is an opposition to it. But perhaps you do feel sometimes that opposition, to look to something else, to read another book, to listen to other things. Oh, what deceitful hearts we have. And yet, when we are brought again to our right mind, we then find that here is a feast of fat things, of wines on the lees well refined. And when it is applied by the Holy Spirit, there is nothing sweeter, more savoury, more tasty, as it were, to the spiritual palate than this living word. Even its reproofs we will be thankful for, and its word of correction, as well as its word of direction and consolation. Well, now, as we come to these words which are spoken to Ephraim. Ephraim was a son of Joseph. He was the younger of the two sons, and when Jacob desired to bless them before he left this world, he wittingly placed his hands upon their heads so that the younger would be blessed above the elder. Jacob himself had known the same experience, that he was blessed above his brother. Indeed, the solemn evidence with regard to Esau was that Esau was not a child of God. But it would appear that Ephraim and Manasseh were indeed blessed. And yet, here is Ephraim in this particular state where he has erred, where he has gone away, astray, where he has backslidden. And yet, the Lord speaks of Ephraim as his firstborn, the one that was to be his first love, as it were, the one whom he would place all the benefits and the blessings and the affection, the firstborn, as Jacob had upon Joseph, Ephraim's father, above the other brethren, and given him that coat of many colours. And yet his brethren did not regard Joseph. They hated him, and therefore they sold him. But the Lord meant those things for good. But now Ephraim, born in the land of Egypt, yet now brought forth, and yet, as the Israelites desired, the garlic and the cucumbers and the things of Egypt, though brought into that wilderness, they desired them, but they could not return to them. And it is the Lord's mercy that those that he brings out, they cannot return. And spiritually it is so, more certainly. the Israelites, they may have returned to the spirit of Egypt and fell in the wilderness because of unbelief. But he that has been brought out of nature's darkness, brought out from the spiritual Egypt of ungodliness and of unbelief, to be brought into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, with that hope, that only hope that we can have through him who bore our sins, who died upon the tree, who bore the curse for us, who shed his precious atoning blood, that we might know the life and the power of that resurrection, and then to rejoice in him who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And therefore this encourages us to come to the mercy seat, even though we may have offended, even though we may have turned away from him, even though we may fret, even though, as Ephraim here bemoaned himself. Well now, dear friends, have you bemoaned yourself? Or are you bemoaning yourself? Is your lot too hard? Are you complaining? Do you feel that you are hard done by? Do you think that what is laid upon you is more than right? Is your pathway one of trouble? And are you saying, if the Lord was gracious and kind, he would not put this upon me? Let us ever realize that God is holy. He cannot look upon sin with any approval. He must deal with his people and bring them to themselves, to realize that they may realize that their bemoanings are not right. The Israelites, they had not left Egypt long. They had observed the high and mighty arm that brought them out, all the things that the Lord did to the Egyptians, the way that he made in the sea to bring them through, and then the Egyptians seen to be drowned, and there they beheld them dead on the seashore. The fact that they had had complete deliverance, yet they still and soon bemoaned and murmured against Moses, against God. How solemn when we are brought to bemoan our lot and not to be patient under it, not to be humbled by it, and not to be brought to confess or to plead that the Lord would show us where we have erred. And is this a chastening that he has laid upon us? Is there not a purpose in it? God doth not afflict willingly, nor try the children of men. If the Lord sends his rod, it is for a purpose. Let us therefore not be bemoaning ourselves selfishly, peevishly, and try and contradict the purposes of God. We find that Ephraim was unaccustomed to the yoke. He therefore did not wish to bear it. He would have removed the shoulder from it. A short and easier path, something which was more pleasant to his flesh. Are we not the same? We cannot point the finger at Ephraim. No, when we know our own case, when the Holy Spirit searches us, we will find that we are just like Ephraim, left to ourselves. But it is a mercy that the Lord speaks in this way. I have surely heard, Ephraim, that the Lord should condescend to hear you when your bemoanings are such that they are contrary to what is pleasing to him. He hears and he observes and he sees. We find that Ephraim is mentioned a number of times in the prophecy of Hosea. And there we see the state into which he was brought. When Ephraim spake tremblingly, he exhorted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. He died. And it is said of Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Thou hast destroyed thyself. But how very gracious and merciful was the Lord in still hearing, hearing and giving the sweet consolation and hope to Israel, to Ephraim. And the Lord concludes, but in me is thine help. In me is thine help. Therefore, encouraging Israel to turn, encouraging Ephraim to look again, to find Ephraim in that state of mind where the Lord would consider him. What am I to do, says Ephraim, under now the correcting influence of that rod that was laid upon him, when it had had its good work accomplished? Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Ah, yes, the Lord had heard him and observed him, and it would be to him as a green fir tree. Well, so it is unto those whom the Lord will hear, those that he will hearken, even though there at first they may be like Ephraim here. But Ephraim was brought to know and realize that this chastening upon him was to bring about a change. And in this, we find Ephraim is brought to confession and to acknowledge that he needed to be turned. Though he found this yoke, which was laid upon him, something distasteful, something which he could not bear. But the Lord now would give him grace to bear and bring him to say, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. The desire that rises up into more than a desire. It is that which is sought after with all the fervency of a renewed spirit. Turn thou me, turn thou me. We need to be brought off ourselves. We need to be turned from thinking that we have been dealt with in an unjust way. Remember that all the things that occur in our life, they are appointed of God. When we consider Job, he may have, in a sense, complained, I was going to say justly complained of his lot. But though we know Job, he did feel and wondered why those things had come upon him. But he was brought to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. It was nothing that Job could speak against if the Lord had slain him. He would say with the hymn writer, and can you say it? And it needs much to say it, you know. And if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous Lord approves it well. And certainly the law must condemn the sinner, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Now here then is raised a little hope, and a true living desire, and a seeking to be turned. Turn thou me, and a knowledge, indeed a confidence, that if the Lord turns, then he will be turned. And with that confidence in our God, a soul brought to return from its backsliding ways will have this clear apprehension that if they are turned, then it is of God's dealing. If they are turned, then nothing can prevent it. If they are turned, then I shall be turned. Well, there is then a willingness has now been made evident in the heart of Ephraim. Where there is a willingness to be turned, what may be the means of turning? The means may be that we have to pass through some deep waters. The means may be that we need the goad, as it were, to be thrust into our side. Like the herdsman, he uses his goad so that he can drive the cattle along, so that they will not then seem to be stubborn and they're immovable and refusing to go where the herdsman desires them to go. Well, the Lord may use his goad, as it were, that which would cause you to be constrained. You find that under it you have that by which you cannot resist. You dare not resist. You must obey the very prickings that are now felt. And so turn me, and I shall be turned. You may perhaps fear and tremble at the means that God uses, but it is to be submissive to it. It is to be humbled under it. It is to have that meek spirit and go in the way that the Lord chooses. And if we are to be nothing, then to walk in that. And if we are to be trodden under by our enemies, then to be thankful that they cannot destroy. They may try to harm, but they cannot destroy. This is where the humble spirit is found, when we are willing to bear on account of our own folly, our own sin, and thou turn me. You may have to turn, and you in so doing be like Ephraim here, who said after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. And you refused instruction. I smote upon my thigh, and I was ashamed. We may well be ashamed. Shame is something which must be with every sinner. Our first parents, when they knew that they were naked, were ashamed. They sought to cover themselves, but they could not hide from God. God knew their sin. He knew their nakedness. He knew their wickedness, their disobedience. He knew what their covetousness was. They coveted to be as gods, knowing both good and evil. The serpent had done his job, but there was mercy. There was mercy to be heard of in Eden, though they were cast out from the garden. God did not say to them, well, now you have sinned, but I will give a second chance. He gave them a promise, but they had to bear the punishment of their sin. And do not think that we can sin lightly, for he that sinneth shall smart for it. We have to learn that God will not have us to trifle with himself. No. Well, surely, then we find that to Ephraim, the Lord, though, gives him hope and enables Ephraim to acknowledge his God. For thou art the Lord my God. Ah, the rod may have been upon me. Chastisement may be known. Troubles may have come. Deep waters to be passed through. Fires to be contended with. Overcome at times. And yet, in all these things, Ephraim would still live. Would still come through. Would still know that the Lord alone could bring him again, could restore him, could bring him back. Well, surely after that I was turned, I repented. The turning must become repentance. By that I mean, as a seed must bear the root, and then all that follows, so with the Lord's hand set against us for the purpose of our turning, when there is the turning, then there is that which must ensue, repentance. What is there with repentance? Well, first of all, there will be godly sorrow. There will be true a weeping. And they will come with weeping and with supplications. Will I bring them? Weeping. It won't be, if I can put it this way, to use an expression, crocodile tears. Now it will not be a feigned a weeping. It will not be a mock humility. It will be a weeping of heart. It will be that which none other sees. It will be that which men may hardly realise, except that there is the evidence of it in your demeanour. The evidence that God's hand has been upon you. That is the humbling hand of God. Therefore, we will find there is this godly sorrow. And then there is confession. Confession. You will now tell him all that you know of your own heart. You can't know it all. The word tells us that. As we've already repeated, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Only by revelation. Only by the searching of the Spirit. The psalmist desired it. Search me and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And if there was, then the psalmist was in that state of mind, of spirit, that he would readily confess, not hold anything back. By nature, we like to cover things up. We like to make excuses. But when we are before a heart-searching God, we are brought to this true repentance where we have to confess before him. And if necessary, to confess to our brother also, or the one whom we've offended. And to be willing and ready and forward in so doing. Well, surely, after I was turned. Here is the evidence of turning, that you repent. And then after that I was instructed. The Lord's teaching. He will instruct us now in the path that the true, humble, needy children of God walk. And you know, it's a path that the vulture's eye has not seen. Ah, those that seek after their prey. But now there is a path where you do not wish to seek after those vulnerable, those that are perhaps exposed to be as a prey. Indeed, poor sinners of a like mind, desiring to be brought to the same repentance. You can unite with them. You can join with them. Now you can confess before the throne of God as sinners. We often prove whether the prayer of brethren has a ring, as it were, a certain sound. If there is no confession of sin, but only just a thankfulness for providential mercies, then there is something lacking. Something lacking. You may say, well, don't you feel that there's a lack of thankfulness? There is a lack of thankfulness. But let us look at the ground from which a thankful heart will come. You will have a thankful heart when you know what God has delivered you from. Has he delivered you from the dust? Has he delivered you from your wretchedness, vileness, and sinfulness? Has he delivered you from the just deserts of those things? Has he delivered you from a deserved hell? Has he delivered you from death, eternal death, which you would have been subject to, but for the life that he gave, that new life, that life that you have in Christ, that life which is the power of the resurrection in you, bringing you to say with the apostle that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and to have fellowship with him in his sufferings, all of that he suffered for you, in the accusations that were levelled, in the accusations that were made, even of the Lord itself, that he should know the hidings of his Father's face, that he should have to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God, he knew what is mentioned in that Psalm 116, where it says, the pains of hell get hold upon me, the sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. His sorrow, his trouble far excelled and exceeded anything that we can contemplate. But nonetheless, there will be a measure, a small measure, an understanding of it when you come to under this teaching that Ephraim came under, and say that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. And Ephraim, he could not do anything else but smite there because of the grief that he had caused his Redeemer, the one who was the substitute, bearing his sins. Therefore, he smote upon his thigh. Yes, he reproved his own himself, reproved himself. I was ashamed and even confounded because I did bear the reproach of my youth. And time is going and I have not got to this last verse. I would just make one comment upon this clause, I did bear the reproach of my youth. There are many things that may come up to your in your mind that you did. And they may indeed remind you of what you were. But you will know that the Lord deals with those things. And when you get a view of Christ there upon the tree, you know that all the sins of your youth were laid on him. And that will bring sorrow and joy. It will be a bittersweet, a bitterness because you were left to do such things, to cause him such grief, but a joy to know that through his willingness and condescension, you may know the forgiveness of sin. But we may also consider that any sin that has been ours in the past days, months, or recent years, if we have been guilty of such, then let us be like Ephraim, who said, I was ashamed and even confounded because I did bear the reproach of my past days, that which was before my youth. But I come to thus quickly consider the outcome. Hear now the Lord asks the question, is Ephraim my dear son? Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he my son? Is this the one now who, though he's been left to such things, yet is he still my son? Well, we think of the prodigal. The prodigal went away. He spent all that his father had given him. He was brought to want. And when he returned, he did not expect to be received as a son. He was willing to be a hired servant. But the father's mind was different. The father, in seeing him afar off, may say, is this my son? Is this my son Ephraim? Yes. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he my dear son? God will never say he was, but is. Yes, if through the mercy of God, he has begun that work, which may have been 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. If you are a son then, you are a son now. But now the question brings it forcibly. Is Ephraim my dear son? Oh, he could not lose it, could he? The Lord cannot lose one of his. He cannot lose his affection towards his own dear people. That will encourage us, you know, with such a thought in repentance and to seek to return. Oh, to return unto him. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? Yes, a child begotten again through the mercy of God. A child who was chosen before time began. A child loved with everlasting love. This child is a pleasant child. A pleasant child, if now there are the marks of grace made evident. If there is that true godly sorrow, and now a desire to walk obediently. If there is in the child, that grief because of what they've been, then to enter into the joy of what they are made through the condescension of their mediator. Oh, it's that condescension that will break the heart. To think what he indeed did. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and being found as such, he suffered even the sufferings of death on your account. Would not that break the heart? The broken hearts, the Lord loves. He loves to see the broken heart. because then there may be restoring mercies. Then there is a true healing. Hard adamants will still continue, but broken hearts can rejoice. Is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Ah, the Lord may rightly have spoken against you, against me, in our sinfulness, in our waywardness, in our backsliding. But now he loves us freely. Oh, what a blessed freeness there is in the love of God. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I do earnestly. Oh, the earnestness of our God towards his people. I do earnestly remember him still. Can he forget them? Can he? Are they not engraven upon the palms of his hands? Indeed, a mother may forget her sucking child, but I will never forget thee. Did he forget his Peter? When Peter had denied him thrice, the Lord still looked upon him. And it may have been, as Joseph Hart intimates, that the first look, may have charged him with his death, charged Peter with his death, but a second look he gave and said, I freely all forgive. Yes, I will forgive. I will forgive their transgressions, their iniquities, and I will remember them no more. I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. And that mercy, it will be unbounding. It will be mercy and mercy upon mercy. The Lord's mercy, it is everlasting. The Lord's mercy is infinite. The Lord's mercy is full. His bowels are moved, as the expression is of the scripture. Yes, he has expressed himself in terms of mercy throughout the pages of the Word of God. And he says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Well, I must leave the subject because my time has gone.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Adrian Pickett on Friday evening of next week. Let us close with hymn 177. Soon as faith the Lord can see, bleeding on the cross for me, quick my idols all depart, Jesus gets and fills my heart. Hymn 177.
And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.